Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting Monday, March 22, 2010, 4 p.m.
Ready? We'll call the meeting to order. Mr. Stan, join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. A current copy of the Open Meeting Act is posted at the east wall near the entrance to the County Board of Commissioners room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. Would you call the roll, please?
Bruce Kane?
Here.
Brody?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
McLarty?
Here. Next is the approval of the minutes of the March 8th meeting, which you were all provided.
So moved.
I'll second it.
Motion made and seconded to approve. Any corrections, deletions, additions? Call roll, please.
Brody?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes.
Bruce K?
Yes.
All right. Next is NPPD Representative Mark. Are you here? All right. This is in reference to the transmission line.
Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you.
Passing out some material for you. One's the presentation, and others, the other information in the packet is for your information at your viewing pleasure. My name is Tom Hillen. I'm with the Nebraska Public Power District. With me today is Mark Becker with our corporate communications group and Wayne Boyd, our board member for NPPD. What we'd like to do is give you an update on our South Sioux City 115,000 volt transmission line project. Our goal and objective today is to continue to communicate and promote public awareness regarding the transmission line project that we're planning to build. We want to encourage open communication with property owners, the general public, and with elected officials. That's why we're here today. And then update you on the status of our project and what's been happening in the area. We had public open house meetings. This is the start of our public involvement process. Our first meeting was held on September 29th and 30th of last year. It was with looking at the study area of the South Sioux City area. 37 property owners attended that meeting. And then we narrowed the study area down to the corridors. We held an open house meeting on January 26th and 27th of this year. 59 property owners attended that meeting. All the property owners for both meetings were sent letters inviting them to the meetings. Our plan is, based on all the information that we received from the property owners, we're going to analyze that information, and we're going to select alternate routes within the corridors. And that open house meeting is going to be held sometime June of this year. The next page kind of gives you an idea of our project corridor area map that we're looking at. This is what we came up with based on the information so far. We are in the stages of analyzing the information that we received at the two open house meetings, and we're going to select alternate routes and a preferred route within these corridors. Basically, from the Twin Church substation, we're planning a 5-mile segment to a substation located 1 mile northeast of Dakota City, that kind of that red spot that shows the future MPPD substation. And then we're going to build a second line segment coming out of the Twin Church sub, heading north, giving a loop around into South Sioux City, and that will be about 10 miles in length. Like I said, we're going to be showing alternate routes. No route has been selected yet. That information will be shared with the public for our June open house meeting. Any questions up to this point? Okay. Our project milestones are: the board approved the project back in spring of 2009. Our in public involvement siting and routing process, like I mentioned, we started with the study area in September. We had corridor meetings this past January. We're looking at preferred and alternate routes. In June, we'll hold another open house meeting, and letters will be sent out to the property owners involved with that. The PRB hearing will be determined later where we need approval by Nebraska Power Review Board. Then final route selection, we're hoping sometime later in the summer, about August, September timeframe. That's the first part year of this project. The second year will be the engineering design, survey work, and easement acquisition, and that will happen in the fall of 2010 till the spring of 2011. And then once all that activity is completed, then we'll start construction of the 15 miles of line from summer of 2011 through the summer of 2012. So that's kind of our target dates that we're looking at. Again, our goal is to continue the public process, continue communicating with property owners, the general public, and elected officials, letting you all know what's going on. We expect a big turnout, more engagement once we show line routes with our corridor. We had good attendance. We expect better attendance once people know. They want to know where the line routes are at, and so we'll expect more engagement at that time. Any questions?
Will these be the big double poles, or will they be a single galvanized tower?
We're looking at, for this area, we're going to go single pole.
Good.
And we're probably going to go with wood or combination of steel. We haven't determined that yet, but for the South Sioux area, we're looking at single pole.
Single poles more friendly to the landowner, I think.
Absolutely. Minimizes impacts. And that's what we got a lot of input for the two rounds of meetings. Absolutely. We agree with that.
Any other questions? You spoke of your next open house. Where will that be held?
It will at the Marina Inn. That's where we held the first two, and the
third
one.
That's
where the last one. Yeah, the Marina Inn. One other item: our substation, which is located 1 mile northeast of Dakota City, some grading activities will be starting there this summer. So if you see anything going on out there, that's what's going on.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate
thank you for your
keep,
time.
Keeping
thank
us updated.
Absolutely.
Look forward to your project.
Okay, thank you. We appreciate
thank
your
you
support.
Thank you.
Next item is open the gravel bids. Fred?
Got him right here.
Oh, you got it.
In your packet, Joan included a gravel bid reporting sheet. Which is kind of nice, because when I'm all done, I can't read my writing. You're a good woman.
That's okay.
Okay, LG Everest, Schedule 1, 1320 FOB pit. Schedule 2, 1320 FOB pit. Schedule 3, 1690 FOB pit. Schedule 4, 1320 FOB pit. And that would be FOB pit is the LG Everest on 124 Steuben Street. You don't need to know their size of the rock, do you? For each schedule.
Yeah. Need to know the size of the rock.
Yeah. It's a schedule, as long as it's a schedule that you want to check the sizes,
except for schedule.
Thank you.
Okay, the second bid is from Kilgers. Who you got here, Ted? Kilger?
Kilger. Fourth one down.
They only bid Schedule 4, which is 660 FOB pit, or 1370 a ton if delivered. This is the way I'm reading this.
So it's 660.
How much? 660 FOB pit, $1,370 delivered. Would that be the way you read it, Fred?
Is that delivered to the shop, or is that, would that...
I suppose they use a central, I didn't talk to them, they didn't tell me, but we would use a central point, which would be the shop, the central county.
Could it be spread on the road for that, do you think?
I'm sure, you know, like around the Emerson to Hubbard area, they'd be glad to say, you know, go out and spread it, wouldn't cost anymore.
All right.
Next bid is from Stilt Gravel Company. They bid Schedule 4, $675 FOB pit, $1,275 ton delivered. Next bid is from Higman. Schedule 1 is $5 a ton FOB pit in Akron, $11 a ton FOB Sergeant Bluff Yard. Schedule 3, $14 a ton FOB pit, Akron, $19 FOB Sergeant Bluff Yard. Last bid being from Peterson Sand Gravel, Schedule 1, $750 FOB pit, $12 delivered to County Yard. Schedule 2, $7 FOB pit, $1,150 delivered. In addition to the bids you've requested, I've enclosed a map and a proposal for your consideration. It is a list of prices for gravel delivered and applied to different sections of the county. It takes into consideration the available roadways for travel and the types of roadways. And that ranges from $11 to $15 to 50 cents a ton. And the map is enclosed as well.
Any comments, Fred?
No.
Okay. Any better with any one of these?
It is the working relation. Sometimes the material is a little better. I feel it.
In which area? Which one?
We've used LG Everett's in the last couple of years, and Peterson kind of exclusively in the last couple of years.
Service has been good?
Yes. Have no complaints about that.
Okay. Any complaints? Any others?
No.
No complaint on any of
them. Just like the product a little better, it changes a little bit, like from the West Point Pilg area, seems to me a little softer. Akron gets a little further away, a little more trucking, even though LG Everett's a little more cost right there, expensive, but we spend less money trucking it, which, you know, you don't actually see that on the gravel bid or even on my gravel budget. I actually spend that amount of money, but the actual expense with the trucking and stuff like that is less. So in the long run, I think it evens out.
Okay, working relationship is good, though.
Good.
Okay.
I think in the past, I just made a motion to approve all of them and then leave it up to Fred's discretion of who uses them. Convenient, but yet we left it open for him to use them all. So, is that something that would work?
Yeah, this kind of just locks all the
bids, and then you can use from who you choose. If somebody runs out, then you can go use somebody else.
Or a different area sometimes, different material. It all depends what's availability, like Rick said.
Did we usually buy just from one vendor, or we just...
Geographically, like Peterson is in Newcastle area, mm-hmm. the northwest part of our county, is just transportation costs is so much less. But I think we can approve all these and use our discretion.
Right. And road committee and Fred could...
Yeah, that's what we have done in the past.
What's your desire?
I would move to approve these bids, accept all bids, and then at Fred and road committee's discretion decide where and when we use each vendor.
I'll second that.
Motion made and seconded to accept all bids and leave the discretion up to the road department as to how they're used. Questions from the board? Questions from the board? Okay, you have a question? I think we ought to put an aisle through here.
Yeah. Or a lighter chair.
Oh.
No. I talked to Fred. I told him I didn't want to get up here, so I talked to him, and I'm not sure exactly what you're talking about here, but I know you're talking about gravel. And I had brought that red stuff in last year, a bag of it, and I don't know if any of you guys have been through Millis Beach through the winter and stuff, but I told him, I said, that red stuff might be all right out in the country, but we're a residential area, and it has been a mess all winter. Kids got to get on the bus there. Comes in on their shoes. There's no way to get around it. It gets up in the yard, you know, the snow, with the snow and stuff. It's been a sloppy mess. It kicks up on mailboxes. It comes in our garages. And it's down by my son's on the west side. It's across my sister's, across a little bit to the east of my place. And that red water's in front of our mailbox on the west side of our place. I mean, it just runs. And so I told him, I said, the red stuff... it's probably okay out in the country where people don't have to walk or whatever, but we're in a residential area where these kids had no way to get around it. And if we go out walking this summer and stuff, if it rains, it's just been a mess. I thought maybe it would work out. I didn't know what it was going to do. But it's a red dye, whatever it's in it. And you said you got it out of Sioux Falls. I'm picturing the Red River. I don't know where something that red would come from. And I thought it would harden and be better, you know. I didn't know what it was going to do for our road, but there's a plus. It did soften the potholes, but the minus, I'm walking through it, and the mess it's been creating in the neighborhood, it's been a nightmare.
Can we discuss it with Fred?
I did, but I don't know where. You're discussing all this gravel, and I just want to point out we don't want the red stuff. If we can, possibly, never dump it.
I think it's something you can take up with Fred. I think
that's Fred Forsythe, wasn't it?
Huh?
It must have been that particular stuff was had some red clay in with it to make a binder. The sand is so soil so sandy down there, like on Mills Beach.
Yeah.
If you actually put a little bit of clay with it, it's what they call a binder, and will set the gravel up so it doesn't trying to get rid of the washboard pothole situation.
I see.
They don't seem to like it, so.
Something we could probably correct with throwing some 3/4 quartzite on top of it and get it covered up.
Yes.
Yeah, because it does stir up.
Yeah.
Like if we got a middle route until today when the maintainer came out, we had a middle route, but the sides have just been nothing but mud and slush.
Okay.
I just
want
to throw in a few cents there. We don't want it again, please.
All right. Any other questions or comments? We have a motion on the floor then to accept all bids and leave the discretion up to the road department. Call roll.
McNair?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes.
Busquet?
Yes.
Rohde?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Les? Is Les here?
Yeah.
The floor is yours, sir.
Oh, you don't have to sign in. You don't have to sign in. You're on here.
Oh, I'd sign right here if you want me to. Well, I'm glad Fred's here. On that tube you took out on Luton Avenue, closed the road. Why did you do it?
the tube has actually collapsed.
Yeah.
And that is part of the Pigeon Creek project. That actual, there'll be in years, I found out later it'll be years, not, but I was informed that maybe we could get our funding from the soil conservation, get 80% of it to go ahead with this project for the Pigeon Creek. After I was told that the engine, I was told that last fall, that the money would be coming. Well, about the end of last fall, they said it would take 2 years for an environmental study. We cannot wait 2 years. I didn't find that out until last fall, so there is no way we could do the work till this spring. We do have the money budgeted. It is in the 1 and 6. There will be a culvert put in there this year, as soon as construction opens up.
My question is, I talked to NRD.
Yes.
And they said they called you. They would pay 15% of up to $155,000. That was the limit they put in.
Yes, but it has to be go through an engineer's design.
Yeah.
And then it has to go in through, and that'll take an environmental study. I went through, I can't believe, remember the gentleman's name from Olson's Associates. They are the ones that are designing the Pigeon Creek. And that's what I was, at first he told me he could have it ready to go, spring ready. And then last fall, he told me it'd take up to 2 years. And I didn't think nobody wanted to wait 2 years to put that tube back in, Les. But that's the reason it said as long as it did. I was under the assumption, just like you, that maybe the county, we could go ahead with the Pigeon Creek project, only pay our 15%, get it done. But it's going to take at least a year or two to come up with that design, get it approved, and go on with that project. And like I said, we cannot wait that long with that road closed. So I talked to some of the
commissioners on the road.
Pardon?
I talked to Vernon Dean, and I didn't know that they had called you. And he said, and Kelly, the office gal, said, yes, he called you last fall. And they did not say one word to me that they needed time to approve it. But they designed
the NR, it. They are ready to go. It's the Olson's Associates that does the design and what they were going to do. Olson, the NRD, they want, you have to go out and get an engineer and get an engineer's design before you can, I cannot just throw in another culvert and have them pay. They have to have, it has to be an engineer design for this Pigeon Creek project.
They write you out the plan.
Yeah, so if you talk to Olson's Associates, which the NRD does not do any designing, does not do any engineering, you have to go through another firm to do that, which Olson's Associates is the engineering firm on the Pigeon Creek project. So when I talk, I think his name's Mike Goldfish from Grand Island. I can't remember his name, Les, but if you would like, I will get a letter that he emailed.
I talked to NRD. I didn't get all the facts.
Oh, I talked to Sam and Kelly at the NRD, and that's what they told me. They would pay up to, 85%. I agree 100% with you, but I had to have the engineer's design to get that 85%. So I went to Olson's Associates, and that's how long it's going to take to design and get the DEQ approval and all that. It's going to take over a good year, maybe to two, he told me. Well, then right away, I told him I couldn't wait that long, so we decided to fix it.
All right, let's move on. Sir, what are you asking of us?
Well, I'm just complaining about the road being closed.
I understand.
Okay, the Emerson school bus has to go about 5-6 miles out of their way to deliver a child because that road's closed.
Okay. But
I mean, why work on something till you know what it's going to be? Why not leave it alone? You had quite a dip. Fill it in.
Well, the culvert had actually...
Yeah, collapsed.
Collapsed.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can't say that the rest of it, you know, with traffic over the top of the cliff might collapse more. You know, I didn't want to take the chance with traffic on it. When it did, I don't know if you noticed the hole in it. It was, when it finally did break through, it was quite dangerous.
That's what's wrong with putting in a small tube and then taking the tube out.
If I happen to do that and say there was a big 5-inch rain and I back water up on it, then the county is liable for any water damage I do. I have to go back. I can't change the tube size. We can actually repair it, and without going through with DEQ, if we use the same tube size and everything that is in there now, until the engineer comes up with the design, because they'll go through all this DEQ stuff, they're actually going to back some water up and buy some right away when they change this. There's another reason it'll take a little bit more time from the NRD less is just because of the design change on it. They don't even have a design, and the NRD will not give you any money until you present them with this design. So my hands were kind of tied.
I see two things here, sir. First of all, there's a safety issue. If the road, the culvert or whatever it is, collapsed, there's a safety issue of anybody going down that road. If somebody falls in and somebody is injured and hurt, we can be liable for that. Well, we're going to protect ourselves by closing the road. The next thing is fixing it and fixing it right. And then you have all kinds of federal government regulations that you have to go through in order to get your permit to do the work. It isn't like we used to be able to do. Used to be able, if we had something wrong, we'd go in and fix it. Now you have to get permits and permission, and the environmental controls over the county are tremendous. So we cannot do anything until we get that approval.
Well, sir, I'm going to tell you another thing. Yeah. Glenel Avenue, you've got two tubes, the road is narrow. Yeah. Fact is, the guardrails dropped down, I don't know. It might have been over the road. You got a school bus, in fact, last year you got two school buses going over there.
Okay.
If they hit the hole, why?
Well, I understand. I understand there are only certain things we can do. We're limited in what we can do.
Yeah.
And as fast as we can do them, I'm sure Fred will take care of it. Is there something else, sir?
And on the gravel.
Okay.
We really, this spot gravel in a road, that ain't any good. Why don't you just gravel a road? If you got to gravel a mile, gravel it. You spot gravel it, okay, you got 25, 50 feet of mud. You come through that with your truck, pickup, car, you hit the gravel, you pick up gravel, and you throw the stones. There's things that don't make sense. As far as me.
What we're trying to do, too, is me and Billy and Fred, is we're going to have people hauling, too, like, you know, Peterson, right out onto the road if we can. And if Fred says, I got 3 miles, bingo. He's got enough trucks, he can be done with it. Where our trucks can be hauling someplace else, see. That's what we're trying to get at, so we can get something done, you know. Yeah. That'll work. I hope it does.
Normally, Lester, you know, we try to cover a mile at a time or more. And we all knew all winter we were going to have problems this spring with the winter we had. And the spot graveling is just buying us time.
We gravel.
Trying to patch up because every area needs.
Our road system has went downhill the last 23 years.
Yeah. And the spot thing, I don't like it either, but that's the only choice we have right now. We can't cover them all in a short time.
No. I know we've got so much funds.
We're trying to get everything patched up, and the roads get decent, we'll do full miles like we normally do.
Maybe your budget needs to be a little bit bigger.
Thank you.
Amen.
Yeah, we all agree.
Yeah. We'll go along with you.
Maybe you better, all agree with you, sir.
Maybe you better put a 0.5% sales tax on for the road.
Can't. We've already used our limit. We can't do anything more.
You're right.
Now, when the sales tax goes off, there's a chance. But until we get the jail paid for,
Lord,
we can't
take
it.
Okay. No, thank it's a mess out there. Yes, it is. I drove them. And
thanks.
Another thing, Fred, your maintainers just make a round on the road. You got a 28-foot top. You got 16-foot blade.
The tops are only 22-foot, is the width of it.
Yeah, the road's supposed to have a 28-foot top.
No, the standards for Nebraska is 11-foot lanes, 22-foot top.
22-foot top. Well, they ain't getting their blade tipped enough, and if you look along the side, there's a little ridge of gravel about that hall. Then the grown grass comes up in it. Next thing I know,
we're
gonna heap a lot of gravel down.
We're trying to make a policy where we're doing a lot more pulling up shoulders this year, less trying to recover some of just what.
No, and that broke a good time right away before it started.
We'd like to see some dry weather.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Les.
Moving on to the next item, Mr. Gomez is asking for a special designated liquor license.
I'm here again. I would like to get permission from the board to continue with the activities of the rodeo that I've been having through the last 5 years, and with your permissions, I would like to apply for a liquor license and the permits for May 30th, which is Memorial Day weekend, from 2 to 11, June 20th, Father's Day, from 2 to 10, July 11th, from 2 to 10, August 8th, from 2 to 10, Labor Day weekend, September 5th, from 2 to 11, and the celebration of the Bicentennial of Mexico Independence on September 11. We're going to have the parade in South Sioux City at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It has been approved by the city of South Sioux City, and then we will continue with the festivities on the rodeo grounds if the weather's permit. Otherwise, we go to the El Ranchito. So I need a permit for that particular day, September 11, from 2 to 9 p.m.
So you got six dates?
Yes.
September what again, Tony?
5th and September 11th.
5th.
And, yes.
I'll make a motion to approve Tony's liquor licenses for those dates.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve liquor license for the six dates as indicated. Okay. Questions from the board?
How many years have you been doing this, Tony?
5 years.
5 years. No problems ever. I mean, you've got some deputies since there, I know, off duty.
Since we started, no, we haven't had problems. I mean, there's times that someone start getting a little out of hand, you know, the deputies handle it right there, and we haven't had any incidents, you know, and I think I would like to invite everybody, and you know, we have complaints about the loud music and stuff like that, which is just to agree with that. He can speak up with that, but I think we're trying to do is our best to minimize the loud music, and it's a family entertainment. I mean, it's everybody enjoyed it. It's mom and dad with the kids, you know, and having fun, and the deputy's doing an excellent job, which is I hire plenty of them, you know. I hire 8, 10 deputies at a time, so to make sure there is sufficient law enforcement there to take care of it. And a little bit of, I mean, not a little bit, but we got, I tell the commissioners, you know, the three letters, the donations that we give to the different organizations and churches. That answers your question.
Yeah.
I would point out here that we have a receipt of three supporting letters, or not really letters, but we have two supporting documents. One is from Dakota City, where Tony has used the profits to assist him in the park and recreation program. We also have a letter from St. Michael's Church, which points out that he has made a good donation to their church program, and also he's made a large donation to the Dakota County Fire Department. I think he's using that profit from his rodeo to help different organizations within the community. I give that to you for as an addition.
The donation to St. Michael's alone, you know, realistically, I don't think the priest might put it up, but I want to let you know, we give to St. Michael's because I really care about the education unions, and Michael's schools really struggle for to survive. We give him $5,200 this year to St. Michael's.
Okay.
So.
Next question. There's been no problem with law enforcement. Tony's been supportive. Have you had problems out there that you've been able to take care of? Or that you haven't been able to take care of?
To my knowledge, I have not personally worked on myself. Sorry, Tony.
No, it's okay.
I've heard nothing good come out of it.
All right.
Thank you. Any questions from the board? Any questions from the audience?
You want me to come out for this?
Oh, here's a pencil. I thought it didn't work.
Okay, I'm not trying to pick on Tony. I'm just trying to get some things straight.
That's not the first time.
you need to speak up now.
Okay.
So we get it on the tape.
I pulled up Dakota County Clerk on liquor licenses. And has Tony filled out an application?
For a liquor license?
Uh-huh.
Yes, definitely, to the state of Nebraska.
Did you bring it to the board?
I bring them before. I mean, I can bring it any time. I bring them before, and also I bring it to you house, personally, myself. I drop it off to your address, and I give it to you.
But this says the county board will review the application at their meeting and make a recommendation for approval or denial. After the meeting, their recommendation is forwarded to the Nebraska Liquor Control Commission. Okay, so then I'm going back to December 15th of 2008. You weren't on, and the two guys weren't on. It was Rody, Lardy, Iajak, and Bill. That meeting turned out to be a meeting that didn't happen.
I don't think that's true. I think the meeting happened. There was an incident in the meeting that took place that shouldn't have, but the meeting itself took place.
Well, the letter
according
from the
to the Attorney General.
According to the Attorney General, they said it was something that never occurred. So I question whether or not what you did on that day should have been, because it wasn't a meeting. You guys probably don't know what happened. The meeting started at 10:40. Jackie adjourned it at 10:42. At 10:44, Tony came in and she asked him to come up to the board. And it just wasn't a meeting because she never reopened it or did it right. So that was not a meeting. And these things got approved during a meeting. And I question how right that was, what happened. And also, these liquor licenses that you gave me, Tony, show that Buzzsaw Inc. is the licensee. And that, as far as I know, being the commissioner at that time, they never appeared before the Dakota County Board of Commissioners. And then Joan Spencer sent letters to the Nebraska Liquor Commission from the county board and from Sheriff James Wagner. And in my opinion, those should not have been sent when that didn't happen. And I've never seen an application for a designated liquor license presented to the board when I was on for 4 years. And I went out to the Dakota Planning and Zoning on June 1st, 2009, and there was nothing in their files that showed that Tony made an application for a conditional use permit, not anything showing that he'd had a public hearing. I was told by South Sioux City Planning and Zoning that South Sioux has no ordinance or regulations for rodeos, nor does the county. And so that's another thing. And then,
okay, we're going to hold this strictly to this application today.
Okay, where is the application?
Well, he's made the request. Where are we? Okay. Are we outside of our bounds?
I haven't seen the application.
Pardon?
I haven't seen the application.
Okay, you need to have the application before we can act on it. You know what you're telling?
I think that would be a good idea.
Pardon?
That'd be a good idea if you reviewed it.
Okay. Have you submitted an application yet, Tony?
No, wait, I have to have the...
It was supposed to have been brought to the board before you made your recommendation.
Then that being the case, it's probably best we withdraw the motion and second and table it to the next meeting until Tony can bring forth the application.
But does Tony need approval from the board to submit his application?
Well, I think he has to submit the application.
Kim, approve. What do you think?
I can research it.
Okay.
But without looking, I couldn't tell you off the top of my head.
What about the public hearing that he should have to get the conditional use permit? You made Gary, I don't know Gary Smith, but I was here, and I know that he had to have a public hearing, he had to get a conditional use permit, and he had to get the application. Why can we treat one person differently than the other? Let's treat them all the same and do this stuff right.
Let me say something about that, Betty. Gary Smith, you know, a good friend of mine, you know, he ran from us for a long time. He's no longer there anymore. And I think the problem with him, that was he had the rodeo before he applied for anything. And that was the problem that I recall. And he didn't have
any. We're not going to get into a big argument here, discussion. We're not going to take time for that. All we want to know is that we're following procedure. And the attorney says that she needs to research it. So, and I think the time frame, 2 weeks.
Sure, no problem. Yes. We need to apply it ahead of time.
So let's make sure we're dotting the I's and crossing the T's here legally.
Okay. Kim's going to research and get back to the procedure.
We'll get back to us in 2 weeks.
Okay, how this goes. So I will resend my motion. That granted Tony the dates that he has here for a special designated liquor license and follow proper procedure.
Is that okay with the second?
Yes.
Okay. Then we need a motion to table. Do I just table?
Unless you just want to put it on the next agenda.
That's what we want to do. Okay. Then this will be carried over to the next agenda. All right, going on next thing, Mr. Nolan.
So we have to have a vote on that?
No, you
nothing
withdrew.
To vote on?
It was a withdrawal.
Okay.
And so then all I do is just say that it goes on the next agenda.
Good enough.
If we were going to table it, we'd have to. But she says you don't have to table it.
Okay.
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon.
The floor is yours for a number of items.
Yes, okay, thanks. I think. You have an interlocal agreement that your attorney and our attorney have worked out that assigns me as a responsible charge individual for your federal highway projects according to the recently adopted LPA manuals and guidelines. So that's before you for action to approve that, and Kim can explain the details that are in that agreement. We have one with not only Dakota County, if this passes, but we'll have one with Dakota City and also Winnebago Indian Tribe for the implementation of these federal highway projects, stimulus money that they're trying to get projects funded and built. As a procedural matter on the rest of the resolutions that are on your agenda today, and I don't know, Mr. Chairman, do you want to handle one at a time, or how would you like to approach this?
Question from the board. I'd point out here that I have a copy of the interlocal agreement here that was just handed to me by the attorney. And what you're doing is an interlocal agreement between the City of South Sustain and the County, whereas we appoint Mr. Nolan to be our representative. And he is certified in the areas necessary in compliance. There's about four pages here, and I don't think I'm going to bore you with reading it. So I guess the major issue here, are you willing to allow Mr. Nolan to be our representative in these road and highway matters?
I
I've worked with Paul in the past, and I find him to be an outstanding gentleman, so I will make the motion that we use Paul to be our
responsible
charge of our road and our DOR, whatever it is. Aid and funding.
And approve the interlocal agreement.
Second. Motion made and seconded to approve the interlocal agreement with the City of South Sioux City in the highway matters, and have Paul Nolan be our representative. Questions from board?
You'll keep us apprised of everything that's going on.
I'm working with your attorney and Joan on these things. This isn't a singular effort of mine. It's going to take all our effort, as you see from the resolutions that are already on the next on the agenda. So, Joan and your attorney, yes, we will keep everybody apprised.
All right.
Any other questions from the board?
No.
Public? Call vote.
McLarty?
Yes.
Buskay?
Yes.
Rohde?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Nolan has the next item.
This is a resolution to comply with federal regulations for the federal highway funding in NDOR and the LPA manual that I talked about earlier, and it deals with Title VI and civil rights. And effectively, I'd like to read this paragraph, and it's a very similar paragraph that you'll hear for the next three resolutions. The Dakota County Board of Commissioners does hereby adopt and bind itself to comply with all applicable federal law, including the rules and regulations of the Federal Highway Administration, all applicable state laws, law and rules and regulations, Nebraska Administrative Code, and the requirements of the LPA Guidelines Manual of the Nebraska Department of Roads, and the Title VI Civil Rights of Dakota County, be it further resolved, and then it goes on to insert the board chairman's name as the individual who will be responsible for managing Title VI and the civil rights process. Kim, is that correct? But I don't know whether you modified it since we met last week.
No.
Okay, all right.
We need a motion to approve that. Yeah, where we're at.
I'd move to approve.
We need a motion to approve this.
If you want
to
do them,
let's
do them one at a time, because there's a little bit different language in each one. You probably ought to approve each individual. So that's just the
10C005.
Yes. Yes.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve. Resolution 10C005. Questions from the board? Questions public? Call roll.
Buskay?
Yes.
Rohde?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes.
Resolution 10C006, Title VI, Civil Rights, Americans with Disabilities, Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act. Language is the same as the resolution you just passed, with the exception of the last two sentences in the be it resolved, and it reads, paraphrasing, requirements of the LPA Guidelines Manual of Nebraska Department of Roads and the Americans with Disabilities Act / Section 504-Civil Rights of Dakota County. Then be it be it further resolved, and it does appoint again the board chairman as the administrator of that program.
Okay, this is resolution 10C006.
So moved. Approve the resolution 10C1105. I'll second that.
Motion made and seconded to approve. Resolution 10C006. Questions from the board? From the public? Call roll.
Rohde?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, next we have resolution 10C007.
The language then is the same as what we have seen before, with the exception of, and the requirements of the LPA Guidelines Manual of the Nebraska Department of Roads, including the consultant selection process as stated in the LPA Guidelines Manual, the National Environmental Policy Act, NEPA, the Uniform Relocation Assistance, and Real Property Acquisition Policies, parentheses, Uniform Act, and the Maintaining of Adequate Financial Management Systems. On the be it further resolved section of this, it does consultant selection process that names your RC, myself, Paul Nolan, for the National Environmental Policy Act, NEPA, again, your responsible charge person, Paul Nolan, Uniform Relocation Assistance and Real Property Acquisition Policies, your responsible charge, which is myself, Paul Nolan. The resolution goes on to indicate the individual who will be your financial management system certification, which is attached to this resolution, and that will be your board chairman, Bill McLarty, at this time. So those are really, in a nutshell, gentlemen, what those resolutions are and what they say, and how they really do impact how we can get these federal funding projects going. We don't have these in place, plus I think some other things that will come down the pipe. We won't get federal funding for your federal project. So you're jumping through hoops.
Motion made and seconded to approve resolution 10C007. Questions from the board? From the public? Call roll.
McNair?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes.
Muscade?
Yes.
Rudy?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Paul.
Looks like you've got a lot of work and responsibility ahead of you. Thank you. Next item is to approve the payroll claim. Reviewed, no problem.
I'll make a motion to approve payroll claims.
Seconded.
Motion made and seconded to approve the claims. Questions? Call roll.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes.
Muscade?
Yes.
Rudy?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
Next is to approve the accounts payable. I would point out to you there is one item that has to be handled. The Veterans Services has a request for $1,000 to their fund. The fund balance has a balance of $879.09, which means it's short $120.91. In order to pay that $1,000 claim, it will be necessary to loan the fund $125. So if you're
is this for the veterans aid?
Yes.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay, now we have, I think we first, I'll save my statement and wait for her to answer. I think first we have to approve the transfer of $125 from the fund to that account, and then approve all claims.
We're going to move that from my inheritance?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what we did before.
I'll make a motion to move $125 from inheritance to the Veterans Service Aid Fund.
Okay.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to transfer $125 from inheritance tax fund to the Veterans Service account. Questions of what we're doing?
This money will all be paid back when they get their new budget.
That's the plan.
Okay.
When we reach the point where we've gone to where the limit of what we get from the taxes through the year, then we have to adjust what you're going to do. But okay, right now it's supposed to be paid back from taxes received. Question, Bill, you look like you've already asked a question. No.
You're doing such a fine job.
questions, board?
Well, that windfall should hit May 1st then, when he should be able to pay this back.
Mm-hmm.
When taxes are paid. Mm-hmm.
No questions? Call the roll.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes.
Muscade?
Yes.
Rudy?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
Okay, now on the claims.
Move to approve the claims.
I'll second it.
Motion made and seconded to pay the claims. Questions? Call roll.
McLarty?
Yes.
Buskay?
Yes.
Brody?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
Ramirez?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Next item is to make the appointments to the P&Z appointments.
We met last Wednesday, March 17 at 10 a.m., and all of us on that same committee met together, and we decided to leave Harold Moles from Homer, Nebraska, and Deb Green from Homer, and that reason that we kind of left Jeff Heilers out because he lived more towards the South Sioux City area, since Dennis Rayner was appointed to the Board of Adjustment, so he's already in, he cannot be in those two boards, and Joe O'Neill from Jackson, so he's the only one apply. So there's the ones that we keep on board of the planning and zoning: Harold Moles, Deborah Green, and Joe O'Neill, and whoever's out there.
So, is that a motion?
So Deb Green will be a new board member?
Yes. 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 And I think
is that a motion, Tony?
I'm going to make the motion. I just want to make a statement. I think it'd be nice to have a woman on the board for the first time, and I think in her application she's saying that she's willing to do everything that she can in her ability, so I think it's good. So I'd like to make a motion to accept those new guys more than in Sony. Those three people.
So I'll second that.
Okay, now I'm not clear. Your clarification. Are you nominating three or two?
Do we have to nominate? Joe Neal's already in, right?
Joe O'Neill is already on the board, but he had to reapply. So you're making recommendations to the board of which ones you guys wanted to accept. So there's three seats open, so it'd be Harold Moles, Deb Green,
and Joe O'Neill.
And Joe O'Neill.
Okay.
Okay. That's what I was trying
to
clarify.
That's the motion. Okay. To correct my motion, I'd like to make the motion to accept the new applicants for the planning and zoning: Harold Moles, Deborah Green, and Joe O'Neill.
Okay.
And I second that.
And there's a second. Motion made and seconded to appoint Harold Moles, Deb Green, and Joe O'Neill to the P&Z board. Questions from the board? Public? Call roll.
Buskay?
Yes.
Brody?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
Ramirez?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes. Letter to the railroad. Kim?
Here's a cup. Tell you what I found in researching. But the statute that deals with $10 to $100 fine is not applied here, because that deals with unincorporated villages and towns, which that's not. Spoke with the Nebraska Department of Roads in Lincoln and got a little information from the engineer. He actually said he doesn't believe we have the authority to even make an ordinance or anything about it. So then I talked to the FRA, and this is what I ended up with, because we don't have really any authority over the railroad other than to communicate our problems with them and hope that they are, as the FRA says, going to be good corporate citizens.
So there's really nothing we can do as far as if they block that right away or block that crossing, there's nothing we can't send a deputy out there to ticket them?
Nope. Under 74-594, says no member of a train crew, yard crew, engine crew of a railroad shall be held personally responsible for guilty found or found guilty of violating any state laws or municipal ordinances. So we can't ticket them personally. And the engineer's thought was that we find another route for them to get out. Helpful.
Okay, what's your...
So, have you drafted a letter to the...
That's the letter.
This is the letter that you want to send to the yard master in Sioux City, I take it.
Have you mailed it?
This is what... No, I was going to fax it, but I wasn't going to do anything with it until you approved it. To fax it to the General Director of Public Affairs, BNSF Railway. Because that's who deals with this type of communication.
Okay. Any other comments on this?
I'd make a motion to have Kim send this letter and just ask them to be more probably considerate of how people feel out there. And then we need to maybe work with them on trying to get another access out of there.
Second. Motion made and seconded to direct the county attorney to send the letter to the railroad about Millis Beach Road. I hope they'll support it. Any questions, the board?
Well, I think it's one step. You know, those engineers and these people in the Sioux City office don't realize probably that these people living out there don't have another access. So hopefully this should help.
Communication is always a key to factor to getting at least their attention.
And that's what this Steve Forsberg. He's supposed to deal with community issues and problems. So hopefully he can help.
Any other comments? Public?
Might as well.
I was waiting.
Yeah. Well, I think it's it on this. Okay. Susan Church. All right. The only answer is what Rick is coming up with. We need another road out of there. And when I brought up this road situation, at first it was a temporary road, and then I started talking about a permanent road. Because a temporary road, they aren't going to take care of it. That's just like we were supposed to have a road there by the grain elevator open all winter for the fire department and this and that, and it wasn't touched all winter. So the only answer is a road. And right now, I don't care if it goes to the moon and back down. You know, it's just that we need one. And the ideal way is just to go over there to Attica, but I don't know. I can't give dates or times, but there was many times, because I used to work and get up there early, whereas, so there's been a lot of incidents. There were 7 hours in February of 2000, that date I remember, where that railroad blocked. And then they had to bring the engine out of O'Neill to move it. It's just, there's too many incidents, way too many, that there shouldn't be any question that we do need another road out of there. Not a temporary road, permanent.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. Motion on the floor. Call the roll.
McNair?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
Clardy?
Yes.
Gay?
Yes.
Brody?
Yes.
All right, next we need approval of the office officials report. This is the monthly report.
Yeah, there's only a couple in there.
Okay, from the clerk and registered deeds.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the officials' report. Questions? Call roll.
McNair?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
Clardy?
Yes.
Buskay?
Yes.
Brody?
Yes.
Next item is claims day. Our 2 month trial period is over, in which we went to just every other week and eliminated the third one. So now I guess we need to discuss whether you want to continue it or you want to adjust it or you want to go back to the what we had before. So.
I like the every other week. I'd like to keep it as we've done our trial period here and leave it every 2 weeks.
We do away with the third week.
Yes.
I'd like to have some input.
Now, the part we did, I had Joan contact the department heads if they had any comments on it one way or the other, so we get input from them. Did you get anything, Joan? No comments. Okay, Ted?
You take a packet and pass it on. Sorry, I don't have one for Joan nor Kim. Okay, the first page that I've handed out, there's a standing policy in my office that employees are not, that do the payroll, don't get to take vacation during weeks of payroll, likewise with accounts payable. The first page shows you Bobby Joe's weeks of payroll. Those weeks she's doing big payroll, so she cannot take a vacation during those weeks. To take turn of the second page, Danny is busy doing accounts payable the week before and the week of accounts payable. It takes him the better part of a week to get the claims together, organize them, put codes on them, do what's necessary, get the board report out so that you can have it on Friday or Saturday, and then the next week he's spending paying the accounts payable. So the weeks scratched out in black are weeks that he cannot take vacation. Okay? Turn the page. He's doing payroll every other week, so that leaves him not taking a vacation all year. I think there's more to this than what the board's looking at and just saving on a meeting day. I don't care if the board meets every other Monday. I will make provisions to pay accounts payable the second Monday of the month of the board meeting. I don't care if you meet the third Monday, but please don't push every other week on it. With election year, it's not probable or practical. And in account, when we have Board of Equalization, it compounds the problem. And I'm specifically asking the board, I don't care if you do away with the third Monday, continue every other Monday, but let me pay the claims on the second meeting of the month.
Okay. What would you like to do?
Don't you have the same number of claims regardless? Bill, they're paid once a month or twice. You have so many vendors.
If you go out and harvest a field, half of it, and you do the next half the next week, is there any more time involved? And do you have travel time to and from the field?
Not a big deal. We do it all the time.
It takes time to prepare those claims, put them in order. It's just as easy to do them all at one time as it is to segregate them. I presented you with a plan to meet every other meeting or every other week as you wanted, and now that isn't acceptable. Is there another reason that you don't want to meet, you don't want to pay claims, or you want to pay claims every other week? You know, I don't know.
Do you have anybody that's cross-trained to fill in?
When you have fewer staff, it compounds a problem to cross-trained. Yes, my people are cross-trained. But the ones that I have now are doing payroll and accounts payable. If we do them at the same time, it does no good to switch them as far as saving time.
What do you do when somebody's sick?
They come in and stay overtime the next day or when they come back to work.
Yeah, but what I'm getting at, though, Ted, you said we could still go every other week, right? But
right.
Then you'd have to pay the claims.
What I think, what I see in this is that right now, as we're doing it every other week, you have to do claims twice a week, so that takes out 2 weeks out of the month. If you go to just one meeting, I think that's what he's saying, you only have to go 1 week a month with Danny doing claims instead of two.
You still have two. You have the week before and the week of.
Right.
So what I'm saying is we will pay claims the second meeting of each month.
But you're getting rid of one session of claims.
Right.
That's what I'm driving at.
Yes, that's true.
That's the saving. Or time.
Time saved for us, yes.
So what would you like to do?
Well, didn't we decide that wouldn't work for all of our vendors, though?
Some of the bills aren't going to get paid on time.
There is only a week, 1 month or 2 months out of the year that we're going to have a tough time getting the claims to the vendor by the first. You know, I have a choice as a department head who I do business with. If they don't want to cooperate with me, I don't have to do business with them.
So you're not going to have any problems with late fees and stuff like that then?
I don't believe so. And I'm not opposed that if somebody's got one claim that has to be paid that first meeting of the month, fine, we can do that. I've never refused anybody from paying a single claim or two claims in a meeting to save on late fees or something of that nature. We can process them with payroll. That's not a problem. But to do all the claims, I feel it's an undue burden on the clerk's office. So I can do it. Now, if you want to do it, tell me whose budget you want it to come out of. I'll keep a person, and we'll do it.
Now, I have a question to you. When they invoice you, how many days do they normally give on an invoice for payment? 30 days, 20 days, what?
Any of the vendors that I have do not worry about when they're paid.
Well, that's your department.
Mm-hmm.
What about the others that come in? Do they have so many day payment? How many days?
I do not know. I ask the two people that were interested in us paying claims every 2 weeks because of problems they had. I ask them to name instances. I didn't get any listed. So
if they have a 30-day pay window open, I don't see a problem. But if they have 20 days, then I see a problem.
Okay,
but that is something you can negotiate with the person, but you can't very well negotiate with the Mid-American or some of those big outfits in which we have accounts with.
That's true. In some instances, we prepay. We have we have trouble with Cable One just about one out of two times. You know, we have trouble with Verizon. They're known for troubles. We've spent probably 20 hours trying to resolve one issue from Verizon. They credited the check wrong. We spent hours, told them what they did wrong, and then they credited the wrong account back. I think it's one of the Kim's claims. We spent 20 hours on a crazy claim.
Okay.
Why
20
hours?
What?
Trying to get it straightened out. And I'm not saying that it's any office fault. It's their fault. They credited wrong. But we have to deal with those problems.
And I see their issue is that they have so many different accounts with the county. Like each department has a Verizon account, and so when they start giving credit, they get it in the wrong account. I can see a problem and why it's going to cause a problem and trying to get it straightened out when you have a credit being issued to the wrong department. I can see that. Any, what's your desire? What would you like to do?
That's a tough call.
Well, I myself, I like the every other week, but if it's going to, you know, on the other hand, let Ted pay the claims on the second week if you want, on the second meeting or the first meeting. I don't see what difference it makes, unless we, you know, aren't getting.
We'll take the late charges out of your budget, Ted.
Fine.
Okay, that's fine. You'll have to answer to him.
What's your desire?
Well, I'd like to go one step further. And can anybody identify any late charges paid in the last year?
Oh, yeah. Identify late charges in the last year? I don't think we can answer that. What's your board's desire?
Has there been any late charges?
There's been a few, yeah. You try to prepay. That's the only way to do it. When the billing cycle just does not mesh, then you try to pay 2 months ahead of time, so you're always 2 months ahead. Now with Cable One, they won't pay the bill because we've got a credit. So.
But could you do like what I do? And some people don't like this, but I do it with my bank account. Like my electric, my gas, my phone. I've went down and I've set it up so they can direct debit my account. So if we could do that, there goes that late fee for any of those utilities. And you can do the same thing with Verizon, because I've done that too. It just, there's no late fees. So
I just said that I didn't have a problem in submitting a couple claims that first payroll period. I don't have a problem with that to save some late fees. But I think it's more worded overreacting for a couple of claims to make us do claims every other week. And I've gone out of my way to cooperate with all the different departments. Joan, she comes up, never refused anybody from paying a claim during a meeting.
Okay, what's your desire?
Comment. I think we make this a trial, a test, see how we feel with met the way we've been met, in the past 2 months, and if we're doing an evaluation, see how we're doing. And it seems to me that there's kind of a problem with, but I personally contact with every commissioner, and we agree and meet every 2 weeks, not because we don't want to meet every week. I think it's necessarily it's our obligation to be here, but there's times that we come for the meeting for 15 minutes, and like Rory, he's quite a ways, and myself, and but if it's going to create a problem, we have to evaluate this situation and do the best way to get the things done. I don't know how much late charges we've been paying, so we will continue doing the old way, and we're still going to have late charges and all those kind of stuff. So I don't know. It's just a thought.
What's your desire?
I move to meet every other Monday and do the claims. What'd you say, Ted? The second
mm-hmm. meeting of the month.
Second meeting of the month.
And I'll second it.
Motion made and seconded that we continue the every other week meeting and pay claims on the second meeting of the month. Question?
No.
Any questions of the board? Public?
I do now. Okay, with this new motion, how many meetings will you have a year?
I can't hear you, Betty.
With this new motion, how many meetings will you have a year now?
How many do we have now?
How many meetings will we have? So we'll have two a month.
You can have 26
meetings
all year long, just like we've always had.
So are you going to be going less meetings?
Will there be less meetings?
Four or five.
Because the off meeting in which we used to pay claims, have the meeting basically to pay claims after the 15th, that will be eliminated.
Okay, are you going to reduce the salaries?
Pardon?
Are you going to reduce salaries?
Well, hadn't thought of that, Betty.
City Council meets every week.
No, they don't.
Every Monday?
No.
Nope. Every other Monday.
Every other Monday.
Yes.
They only meet 2 Mondays a month.
I suggest if you are going less meetings, you drop the salaries. That'll save us a little.
Well, nice suggestion, but I don't think it's going to happen. It's already been set for the next 4 years.
That should have been done then before.
Okay. Any other comments? Call the roll.
McNair?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes.
Bousquet?
Yes.
Rohde?
Yes.
I'd like to make a comment. I'd like to thank the board for taking that into consideration. We will work with the other office to get the job done.
Thank you, Ted.
Okay. Next item on the agenda is the request from the county clerk's office to change the commissioner meetings to 4:10, allowing the Board of Corrections to meet at 4. I think the purpose here is so that you don't start the meeting and then recess and reconvene. Is that correct?
That's correct.
I think that's the issue. Meetings that we don't have a commissioner or a Board of Corrections meeting would meet at still 4:10?
We could do it either 4 or 4:10, whichever the board prefer.
I think that's the issue.
But don't we have to clarify when we don't have another meeting, we can start 4 o'clock, or we will still start 4:10, regardless of...
Well, he's saying that doesn't make a difference. We can start the commissioner meeting always at 4:10.
Okay.
The other side of the coin is we just can eliminate putting this recess on the agenda, which does not allow us to recess as that's happened in the past, and we could just start Board of Corrections first and then go right into Board of Commissioners.
I still want to make a motion.
Okay, your motion is to start commissioner meetings at 4:10?
4:10.
All the time?
At all the time.
Okay.
It'll make a little difference.
Second that.
Motion made and seconded that commissioner meetings will begin at 4:10 from... now, that can't start at the next meeting, can it? That's 2 weeks away.
May.
I've already advertised April. So we would want to start with May.
So it's starting with May. Agreed?
Sure.
Okay? Okay with second?
Yes.
Okay. Motion made and seconded that the commissioner meetings begin at 4:10, beginning with the first meeting in May. Discussion? Public? Call roll.
Gomez?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes.
Bousquet?
Yes.
Rohde?
Yes.
McNair?
Yes.
Next item is a county road agreement with Northeast Nebraska Telephone Company to bury a fiber cable in the public right-of-way.
All that needs is the chairman's sign. It's just they're putting a lot of fiber optic. They need a... I want to know if it's all right to bury in our right-of-way. They gave out a description of what they're going to do. County attorney has looked it over. The contract or the conditions look right. They need the chairman's signature to give up the right of way.
I guess I don't have a problem
legal document
with letting them go in the right of way, as long as they understand that if we have any road issues and we need to build up a road, that they're on the hook for locates. And if we tear up the cable or whatever, trying to rebuild and fix our roads, that they're on hook for that, too.
I don't believe that was in the conditions.
Because when we go out to do work on a road, we're going to have to pay for those locates on those cables.
Yeah. We don't actually pay for the locates. Locates are free, but if we do damage, and especially fiber optic, very expensive anymore. And I doubt... I don't know, I've never seen it done before where they'll probably agree that anything on our right-of-way that we hit, we fix. Usually if they go out and locate it, The location was wrong, and we hit it, then they're on the hook for it. But if
the locate companies has insurance policy. But
yes, but if we hit it, it's been located correctly, and we hit it, then our insurance is, or the county is liable for it.
Well, I know that if you tear up a fiber optic cable, it can be $50,000 just to have them come in and look at it.
Yes.
Bad. So,
if you want to have someone from the telephone company come talk to you to see if there is some negotiations, I can do that, or I can speak to telephone company to see if there's any other options that they've done in any other counties. We can wait for the chairman to sign it. That's fine.
That'd be best, don't you? Kind of know where we're at. If something happens, we tear it up, or
you want to postpone this 2 weeks and have them come and address the board? No, Chesky.
I would think so. You know, I'll kind of find out. You know, if we do tear a cable up, you know, being as we're giving them right away. Which, you know, I can see letting them put the cables in there, and I know they're in a lot of areas. But if we have to do major construction, who pays for moving the cable? You know? I'd kind of like to know those. I'd like to have answers to those questions.
Okay. I'll ask someone from the...
It's an expensive cable.
Delay this week.
Just put it on the next agenda.
It's all right. Okay. Then, so be it. We'll just put this on the next agenda. That's in 2 weeks. We ask them then to come forward and present their position.
Yes.
And then we can present ours, and we can kind of reach an agreement.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Yes. Thank you, Rick.
Core Wellness Program. Mercy Medical. All right. We have a problem here that we made that program mandatory, that everybody has to partake. I think that's almost hinges on illegal.
Doesn't comply with the Americans with Disabilities Act statutory language, and so I recommend that you remove the mandatory part.
It's fine with me.
So move to make it voluntary?
So move to make it voluntary.
Second.
Motion made and seconded on the Core Wellness Program to strike mandatory and make it voluntary on the program. Questions from the board? Public? Call the roll.
Gilardi?
Yes.
Biscayne?
Yes.
Gilardi? Yes. McNair?
Yes.
Gomez?
Yes.
Next item is authorize the purchase of a van for the Veterans Service Officer.
I was working with Randy Walsh, and Randy got called away to take a prisoner up to the hospital. I do have one. Randy has several options, but I think we probably should put it on the next agenda.
Okay. Okay, then we'll just carry it over to the next agenda.
Mm-hmm. What I want to tell you too, Rick, I did call down to Omaha, and these auctions that they have, being Work County, we have first chance to go down there and bid on a car before anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And Leon Pye's got the address and everything. And he said, the woman down there said, it's well worth it to come down here and check it out.
Yeah. But also, the state is coming up with a state bid for these vehicles too that will be, you know, they can have wheelchair ramps in them and stuff. I talked with one of the car dealers. I went to several, but some of them, you know, they were off base with their prices as far as trying to find a low-mile van. Arlen King came up with one that's got stow-and-go seats that you can just flip down, and his bid is here. I don't know if you want to open it now.
Not if we're going to carry it over next week.
There you go. Yeah, if we're going to carry it over.
You
want to
just turn it over to the clerk? And
I can. Ted can keep it next time we come around.
Do you know about what the price range would have to be
good? I have no idea. I didn't open it. all I know is he gave me kind of some of the, I told him kind of what we wanted, and then he went out and searched, but this van might be gone at that time, that's the only problem. But not like there's not going to be more of them.
Yeah. Okay. So. Next item, commissioner reports.
We had our safety committee meeting today. We only had one injury this quarter. It's unusual because we have several. Always out of these meetings, you know, new ideas come up, and you know, today we talked about several different things, but a lot of good always comes out of them. I think it, an improvement is made every quarter. And everybody, somebody from every department is here, and it's really time well spent.
Okay, anything else?
We had a P&Z meeting where we discussed penalty section and process in which to go about implementing those if someone falls under those guidelines of being in violation. And with our new board members, I think we've got a lot going on there.
Okay. So, anything else?
Next to the law enforcement. They had the Northeast Deep Beautiful, and I missed it.
Yes, Dick had a conflict. We're in the process of broadening our board to have better representation from businesses and from volunteer organizations, and we're gearing up to assist Missouri River Relief, who will be coming to the riverfront again in June.
Okay. Anything else?
We met with the law enforcement board, had a brief meeting, and which Pat said that we're on for putting the building up, and they look to start pretty quick. So.
Okay, anything else? I've been notified that the chamber dinner will be April the 29th at the marina. The speaker is Tom Osborne. If you plan to attend, I think we need to be so notified. The other thing I have is Governor's Day that we have every year in Lincoln. This year is canceled. They're not going to have one. The reason being, the date that they had was so late in the session that it was counterproductive. So it will not happen this year. Anything else? Okay. Public comment period. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to address the board on any issue that was not on the agenda? Okay. Entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Motion made and seconded that we adjourn. Call roll. Okay.
Yes.
Rudy?
Yes.
Meneer?
Yes.
Lemire?
Yes.
McLarty?
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much for coming. Appreciate your time.
Jill, did you get one of these?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Kim, did you get one?
These resolutions require...
No, well, I was going to give mine out.
Well, hey, if you don't want it...
Want it? You have two.
Hey, if you don't want it, yeah.
You'll find somebody who will take it.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty neat. That requires all of your signatures. You like a reset?
Yeah. You guys seen it on Christmas shopping?
Yeah, I only got out that one.
Got tired. That's the first.
Oh no, we went from 4:30 in the morning till 9 o'clock at night.
Things all day we had. He wants them free, and that requires everybody to come.
I think you got
Hey, what do we just have to sign just for three?
Hey, hey. Oh, I'm sure they'll be fighting over it.
Did a good job last year.
We'll tell them who came from.
Yeah. I forgot about that.
Do I have to sign?
Yes, 20 times.
20 times. Man, I was trying to get out of here.
Oh, isn't it? Leave it there. He's got a lot of money. I'll take it.
It's pretty heavy.
It was looking good for a while.
I said, I signed them three.
Yes, it is.
No, I pulled it out. I got these down, and he's got them done.
I'm glad you do it, but I'll tell you.
You got those done?
I think you'll see if it don't get better. There was a big article Wayne Dykeshorn had in the paper here for Sunday. And
our problem is trying to get some labels.
They've been at it as long as we have, and they're getting tired of it, too.
Did you turn it off?
Without.